All of the views and opinions expressed here are those of the individual speaking and may not be representative of Coding American. At times, language may be considered vulgar. Listener discretion is suggested.
Welcome to another episode of the Behind Wheel Podcast. We do this whole thing every Wednesday. It's what we like to do for you, you know.
I'm Jared. From Koenig Wheels.
Yep. Still is Jared. So anyhow, we hope that this podcast finds you well. And if you're here or you're coming from the lives, please make sure you hit that subscribe button. Not because we just want you to subscribe, but because when you do, little fairies get their wings. Now,
giveaways.
And you can hear about giveaways. What up, Gunnar and Adrian? I see you. I just wanted to say I see you.
Yeah,
that's all.
They're already coming in. Okay.
So anyhow, so with that going on, today we're going to be talking about a topic that seems so simple, but I'm telling you how many questions we get about this topic is ridiculous.
I got to admit, I felt so silly making this outline because I kept thinking to myself, like, this is so blatantly obvious and people are going to get, like, so, like, frustrated and angry, but, like, I read so many DMs and Facebook messages that specifically talk about these topics that it's like, yeah. I felt we had to do this. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this is probably the one topic I think that there's no real outline needed in the sense that we get so many questions about this stuff. So
yeah. Oh, you got some hearts for the shout out.
Listen, I enjoy hearts. Giving away 15.8 countergrams by any chance. Yeah, maybe soon. I mean, we do giveaways quite a bit. What up, Angel?
Angel.
Why did I say Angel? Who the heck is an Angel? Angel.
I don't know.
What up? Good morning.
Is he the RxK?
Yeah, I think it's Cube. Right?
I think so, because he always has the same same messaging.
Anyway. Let's get back to it. So here's the deal. A lot of your questions when people start to talk about wheels and what to buy wheels, there's things that they make a mistake on. They miss. They don't even think about. They don't consider. Mm-hmm. And from our experience, there's some things that you easily need to just pay attention to. So let's kind of dive into some of those things. And I'm going to talk about the first point that's so important. And nobody gives this enough attention. And that is, make sure you know what you like.
Oh,
make sure you know what you like, because the one thing that we get all the time is people asking us, what would look good on this car? Mm. What would fit best on this car? What should I do here? What tire size should I run? If you research, listen, your car, I promise you, no matter what you drive, there is a piece of your car. Your car is on the internet with wheels on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And most likely, those people have gone the distance to say what size.
I mean, what fitment. Fitment Industries as a whole gallery.
That is a great example.
They have a whole gallery.
Whole gallery. You can go there and see all the different things. So what I suggest is this, is that know what you want. What style do you want for your car? Right? What do you want? Something really spoky, five spoke, this? What is the stuff that when you look at it, you're like, that's it?
What finish do you want?
What finish do you want? What size do you want? And?
Pause.
Well, I wasn't going to go there, but.
You have to. The Gunners are in the house. You have to pause.
And in addition to that, you know, what fitment are you looking for? You know, we talk about fitments. Flush. You know, stance, this, that.
Aggressive, you know, tame.
There's so much. Find the setup that works best for you, that you think that's exactly what I want, and then find out what the specs are. If nothing else, it's an excellent starting point, and you won't feel so lost. You'll be looking for a wheel that's like this or could be like this, and you won't get... Plenty of times people get wheels, and they think that they're, you know... This is what I want for my car. They put them on the car, and they're like, eh.
Oh, it's happened to me, for sure.
Yeah, it happens.
It happens and to everybody.
It's not about brand or style, but a lot of times it comes down to fitment, color.
Mm-hmm.
You just miss on one of those things, and all of a sudden it's just not the right look for your car.
And I'll add one more thing. You know, on our Instagram, and Facebook for that matter, we make sure that when we post other people's cars, we always put the fitments and the sizing and the offset to help people like you figure out what you like and what might fit, et cetera, et cetera. So,
and it's something that we are trying to get better at, that when we get those photos, we're also trying to make sure they get put onto the website. If you look at our website, under the, like, you go to a, like a Hypergram page and you click on the media tab at the top, it will bring you all those pictures we have in the gallery. So we just have to do a better job at getting those pictures. Putting them on Instagram is great, but can we also get them, whatever? Yeah. And we should be doing that. We should be putting the just a real quick small line on the bottom.
Mm-hmm. Oh, a caption, yeah.
Just basically just says, you know, 15 by 8, you know, whatever it is, so that people can see that.
Is this a podcast or an internal marketing meeting?
We're both. We bring our friends along with us. There's no hiding here. We bring our friends along with us. So that's the first thing. Make sure you like your wheels. Number two.
Yeah.
Which I think is pretty interesting. You want to take a stab? We have plenty of points.
Yeah,
we
talk about this all the time. I have my notes on
I don't
on
know
my
why
phone
he needs notes. But, you know, hey, look, what are you going
to
do?
I outline. I try to come prepared.
He outlines.
Let's see. I think the biggest question that I get a lot is about reaching out to us to buy directly.
Yeah, I mean, look.
I get it.
I don't know that this is something you should consider or a mistake you make, but if you do contact us, you're most likely going to get a reply that says...
Well, so the only reason reason that I'm considering it a quote-unquote mistake is just because, especially now with all the port congestion issues and our limited availability in terms of stock, like, it could potentially be a scenario where if you're reaching out to us as opposed to a dealer first to place your order, I mean, maybe you lose out on a set of wheels because you...
Yeah, I mean, look, this is a subjective answer, I think. I think that it's hard for me to say no or whatever. Like, I hear what Jared's saying. I know what he gets, and we do get a ton of questions about, can I just buy from you guys? We don't sell to the public. We're a manufacturer, you know? Mm-hmm. So the answer is no to that. But I don't know that I would classify that as high up on the level of things that people make mistakes on. But I hear what you're saying.
Well, I mean, I think the only other thing I would add to that is just that the reason I would consider it a mistake is because we have a dealer locator right on our website.
Yeah, but you can't crucify the people.
No, I'm not crucifying the people. I'm just trying to, like,
Jared basically just said, yo, if you don't go
I'm trying to promote our tools.
If you don't go to... Pause.
Oh, that's a pause, yeah.
If you don't go to the dealer locator, you messed up. He's basically saying, if you didn't go to the dealer locator,
All right,
but look, let's get back to some mistakes that people do make when they buy their wheels. And I think one of those other things is not considering that just because, look, it is more than knowing what size you need, what offset you should get at a given width, and what diameter you need. You also need to consider that there's a brake caliper in there.
Mm-hmm.
There's too many people that use the trifecta of diameter, width, and offset as the, God-given facts.
Right. Those are the only components, and there's nothing else.
Right.
I used to be that way for sure before I came here and really worked here and learned all about that stuff. That was me too, admittedly, for sure.
I get it. And it's an easy trap to get stuck in. And, you know, understand that what we're talking about here are things to make it easier for when you go to buy your wheels.
Mm-hmm.
These aren't for us. We know these already. But I will say this, is that there's plenty of people that argue with us every day because they'll say, oh, you know, I want to get this wheel 18.5 and a 35 offset.
Yeah.
And we'll say, hey, what car do you have? And they'll say, oh, I have this. And we'll be like, that doesn't fit. And they're like, yes, it does. I have 18.5s on there at a 35 now. And we're like, okay, but it doesn't clear your brake. And they're like, no, it will because I have this offset. And that's just not it. Look. There's a caliper shape, and we've done videos like this on the channel where we've talked about, different things about how brake and caliper shape and spoke shape, they all play into a factor.
It's the design component that people forget about.
Absolutely. And when you do that, I would say that the biggest bummer for us mm-hmm. is this. And it just happened the other day.
Yep.
Some dude or dudette or, you know, whatever, ex, I don't know, some person, human being, they go out and they buy their brakes, the brake kit that they may have always wanted.
Yep.
Right? Because, look, it would be silly to not understand and not really consume the fact that brakes, in many cases, are just as desirable component style-wise as wheels can be.
Yep.
Like, I know that, like, I've done plenty of upgrades. And don't get me wrong, I do them for functional reasons. Mm-hmm. But if you give me the choice to pick a caliper color, I get very excited.
Well, yeah. Right? I mean, that was me with the Baja. I had the Brembos, and I was like, oh, I was just putting it on for show.
Right.
Of course, they turned out to be the biggest pain in the ass. But, like, wow. Yeah. So
that was Jared's spec.
Right.
Yeah. So, but like for me, like, I think about it in the sense that, like, I've done Wilwood big brake upgrades before.
Yeah.
And they have a service, if you don't know this, that if you buy a brake kit from them, if you can wait a few weeks, you can get them custom colored, and they have a whole chart of the colors you can choose on their website in a little configurator. Caliper comes up, you could pick the logo color. There's like six logo colors and different things. And the reason I say this is because if you're going to spend the money on a brake kit and they're saying, hey, you can get it any color you want, you're like, hold on here.
Hold the phone.
What I'm saying is people go out and they spend all this money on the brake kit that they've always wanted.
Right.
And then they put their wheels on to realize that they don't fit.
They just sort of expect that they're going to fit by default because they are wheels.
And let me tell you the biggest mistakes that follow this realization.
Mm-hmm.
Grinding on your caliper. Grinding on the wheel. Do not grind on anything. In any sense of the form, don't grind on it.
Unless you're at the club.
Don't grind on it. So listen, so here's the thing. If you're in that position where you have to remove metal from a given object that keeps your car stopping or keeps your car from nosediving into the road, don't. Like, there's a reason we need all that stuff.
Yeah.
So you know, look, safety-wise, the best way of handling this situation is don't make the mistake in the first place. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Don't make the mistake. Make sure that if you have any questions about a brake kit that you want, that you may want in the future, that you're looking for a wheel to fit, send us an email at fitment@koenigwheels.com. We can help you determine if it will fit. We can also take a brake caliper template that you'll have from an aftermarket brake company,
mm-hmm.
and we can plug it into a wheel that you're thinking about buying so that you don't have to worry about whether the wheel, when you buy it, will fit over your brake,
mm-hmm.
right? And, you know, a good thing is don't use just the verbatim line that's almost on every brake manufacturer's website. You'll see it. Usually fits with a 15-inch wheel. May fit with a 16-inch wheel. You've seen these things. We got a bug in here.
Yeah.
you've seen these things on the brake websites, and what I would say about them is we had a good example yesterday that came yep. through where somebody's like, well,
he was heartbroken. I felt so bad.
So he bought a set of wheels. He has the wheels. He put this big brake kit on the car.
And Prior to getting the wheels.
And then he said, you know, like, hey, like they said it should fit this diameter. So 16s, I think it was.
Yeah.
And we're like, yeah, but it doesn't fit our stuff. He's like, I had the same problem with another brand. My friend has some of those. I tried those on the car too. And I'm like, well, so we were looking at it and we ultimately had to tell him, hey, look, here's the problem. The problem is your brake is very tall and it's also it protrudes at the top.
Mm-hmm.
What's happening is every wheel has a drop center. It's the area that would be located back here in the wheel. And essentially what that is it's where the spokes of the wheel sort of meet up with the barrel. Now, that area is determined by a few things, and this is one of the reasons why if you have a wheel with any lip, that drop center moves in a little bit. It's got to meet where the spokes come in, right?
Yeah.
And it also means that the spoke has to meet into that point. So what ends up happening is you create an area where the spoke to the barrel portion creates this area where it's narrow in diameter, you know, narrower in diameter. And also, if you have a brake that's very squared up in that corner, it's going to hit the spoke or hit the drop center.
Yeah.
There wasn't much maneuvering that can be done with this brake kit. So if you would have sent that kit to us ahead of time, we would have said to you, hey, look, I'm sure somewhere out there is a perfect 16-inch wheel with no lip that's very flat that will just clear this brake.
Yeah.
But in our experience, it's going to be, if you're looking just for a blanket, like look for whatever, it's got to be a 17. And he's like, man, I was only going to this brake kit because I was like, I guess I can upgrade to 16. He was at 15, I believe.
I thought he said, anyhow.
And now we were telling him he had to go to 17. So, you know, look, that's heartbreaking because we've been there.
I was speaking to him on the phone yesterday and he was devastated. Yeah. Like legitimately. And I felt horrible, but you know, we potentially saved him a lot of money because he already bought a set from another brand that didn't fit. And he was about to pull the plug on a set of ours. Yeah. So at least minimum, we saved you money.
At least we gave him a heads up. But if he had done that beforehand, look, he could have sent that to us before he ever bought the brake kit. And we would have been like, yo, it's going to be really tough for you to find a wheel.
For sure.
And he could have made it, he could have used that as an example. So I'm just saying, consider the fact that your brakes, you know, plenty of cars now come with Brembo brakes. Plenty of cars come with big brakes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got, of course, 350Zs and 370Z Acabono stuff, and then you have Type Rs, and, you know, they come with Brembos. You got
Kia G3. Stingers and everything. That's absolutely right. Too?
So like, you have a Stinger. So you have a lot of different wheels and different things.
He's just checking the battery life.
You have a lot of different things that necessarily will dictate how that wheel could possibly fit. And, you know, big brakes, they're not just aftermarket anymore. You know what I mean?
For sure. Yeah. And, you know, to put a quick positive spin on all this, I have had some people email fitment@conicwheels.com, which I check, and they do these precautionary things that you're talking about where they say, excuse me, I'm trying to choose between brake kit A or B.
Yeah.
And they'll send us templates for both.
Right.
And I'll go and check and say, well, A fits, no problem. B, that's a little close or it hits or whatever. Right. So there's some people that are very good at that. We just would like to try and get more people.
But I think the people that are very good at that are the people that have the experience dealing with that, right? Like most of the guys we have that experience with are NASA guys or race guys or race program guys or people that have gotten burned before or people that have been smart enough to subscribe to our YouTube channel where they can watch our content live or not live. And we explain to them that you can do this. We've talked about this stuff in various videos for many, many years now.
Yeah.
And it's important. And we hope that you heed our warning. Moving on.
Indeed.
I have some on the top of the head. You want to go right to your notes? No. You like your notes?
Keep going.
I don't want to disturb your notes.
All right. Well, maybe we're thinking the same thing. Because, I mean, one of the other
common... Installation hardware?
What?
Is that where you were going?
What was I doing?
Installation hardware?
Yeah. The lug nuts. Yeah.
See?
There you go.
So I think that's another piece.
Yeah. I mean, it's not really a wheel purchasing mistake necessarily.
Oh,
but
burn you just as bad.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was right.
Yeah. I mean, look, when you, I think that there are times and places. For the most part, I will say that for the average person buying a new wheel and tire package, choosing the right set of lugs or lug bolts, lug nuts or lug bolts, is an easy thing. And I'll tell you a couple reasons why.
Mm-hmm.
First reason, most of these websites that you're going to buy them on nowadays, they're going to tell you, do you want to add these?
Mm-hmm.
You know, these are the right lug nuts. That's number one. Number two, if you go to a local place, hopefully you have a wheel and tire dealer that's informed and very knowledgeable about what they're doing, and they're going to be able to say, hey, look, you know, with this wheel, you need these lug nuts. Okay? But let's say you get through all that and you bought the wheels separately, you bought the tires separately. You're going to have them mounted and balanced, and then you're going to go home and you're going to put them on yourself, and you bought yourself a really set of Primo lugs. Mm-hmm. You went and found the ones, whether they be the right color or this, that, the other thing. Most aftermarket wheels, they have a 60-degree taper, what they call conical seat lug nut, meaning that if you look at the lug nut, it's like in a tapered flat cone pattern. Your stock wheels, in many cases, will come with what's called a ball seat lug nut. It's shaped more like this. It's a rounded base. You can't use them interchangeably. If you have a wheel that has a conical seat, you need to use a conical seat lug nut.
It's like putting a square peg into a circular hole.
Or forcing an oval peg into the circular hole. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Point still valid.
Right.
Look, the issue is that if you use a ball seat lug nut on a conical seat wheel, over time, and when I say over time, it could be a day or two, or it can be, a little bit longer. Mm-hmm. What ends up happening is it essentially will vibrate and start to loosen up. And the first thing that's going to start to happen is, you may get some vibration or different things like that. But before you even get to that vibration, you're going to have this area where it's moving back and forth on the pattern and in the free space of the lug. And when it does that, what's going to happen is it's going to start to gall the holes and the tapered seat of the mounting pad.
Right.
And when it does that, your wheel is basically junk. There's no coming back from that. Once you distort the mounting pad, you're kind of done.
Send it to wheel heaven.
Right. So what you want to do is you want to make sure, and this is a safety issue. Put the wrong lug nuts in your car. Put the wrong lug bolts in your car. You could have a catastrophe. Also, I will say that when it comes down to German cars, many times the stock length lug bolt works just fine. But if you have anything you've done, if you've put spacers on it, again, we don't condone them, but let's say you put spacers on it. Let's say you've done some sort of other modification, or if the wheel that you happen to buy, let's say it's not ours or whatever it may be,
mm-hmm.
has a thicker mounting pad than your OE wheel, you may need to change the lug bolt size, and that's why they offer them in so many different options.
Right.
These are things that you should find out before you put your wheels on the car, not after.
Well, and you can, if it's our wheels,
mm-hmm.
you could ask us.
You can.
We usually know the answer.
I mean, listen, every one of our wheels is conical seat. I'll just put it
out
there.
No, I meant in terms of like potential length for...
Yeah, listen, I will give everybody a really quick tip, and actually maybe we'll turn this into a TikTok. See how I'm vibing with everybody here?
Okay.
When it comes down to lug bolts, if you want to try to figure out how much length you need to get your self back to status quo, here's the easiest way to do it. You take the lug bolt, you put it through your stock, once the wheel's off your car, put it through the stock lug hole and measure how much protrudes from the mounting pad out of the back of the wheel.
Ooh.
Take the same lug bolt, go over to the aftermarket wheel. I'm sorry. Take the conical seat lug bolt. Go over to the aftermarket wheel, push it through the hole, and measure the protrusion of the lug bolt. If you're basically the same, you're good.
Mm.
You don't need any more length or any different length. You have the same clamping capacity you did with the OE wheel.
That's smart, yeah.
If that number on the aftermarket lug bolt has decreased, you need to get a replacement to get you back to status quo for the most part. I mean, if you're within usually a millimeter or so, if you still get the proper amount of turns on a lug nut as it seats, you'll be fine. Sometimes OE lug nuts actually have more than they need just out of precaution. But with that said, there's also another issue, which is on European cars, for some reason, if it goes the other way, I'm not saying our wheel brands, but some other wheel brands or something, and you have too much protrusion and the thread engagement, the bolt goes really far in. Sometimes on the rear of German cars, it can become the issue where you can't use your e-brake. Like, it locks off the e-brake because it goes through the hub.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So right. Just keep that in mind. It's an important factor to look at, and it's something to consider ahead of time.
Wheels are a lot more complicated than people realize.
You know what? There's a lot of success stories where everything goes together and no one thinks about it, and it goes fine, and that's what I think is whatever. But there's a fair... Listen, I'm sure the same thing is true. Well, no, I know the same thing is true with suspension, mm-hmm. right? It's not hard to get a coilover... Dial in the ride height, you know, to where you want with a measurement. Put the things into the car, tighten down the hardware, and be like, oh, I installed my coilovers.
Yeah.
But like,
is it aligned?
Do you have the right camber? Do you have this? Do you have that? Etc. So yeah. There's other things.
Did you throw in some anti-seize on the bolts before you?
Yeah. Right. So I think that right on the back of this, we might as well touch on the other part, which is that people fail to use a hub ring. A hub centric ring.
Okay, that was not where I was going to go, but we have one more point then after this, so go ahead.
Yeah, so the hub centric ring, you've heard us talk about this so many times on the channel. It's not a safety or structural item, but so many times we get complaints about we're having a wheel vibration, and I've already been here. They rebalance the wheel. It's not the wheel. I think the wheel's at a round, and you're like, you know, have you used it yet? Well, not really. Well. Wheels don't magically bend themselves. They just don't. They're metal. You've heard me say this. They're metal. They're not magic, but,
yeah.
You know, magic works both ways. You can't bend a wheel just from looking at it. So,
unless you're like Luke Skywalker or something.
I don't think even he could do that. I'm pretty sure you were looking for like Superman or something, but okay. So with that said, I would say you need to be conscious about the fact that some of this vibration that you'll experience comes from a lack of hub ring, comes from an absence of being able to achieve hub centricity. So that hub ring is a dowel pin. It's an alignment tool. You put it into the back of the wheel and it makes sure that it is going to be hub centric and centric to the hub every time you put the wheel on. It takes the equation out from having to try to use the tapered seat of the lug nut mm-hmm. and try to get it aligned while gravity's pulling against you. Yeah, look, it's just not a valid term, and I'm tired of people arguing with this. Like, you know, it's just not a valid term. Use a hub-centric ring. It's cheap. It's easy. If you don't know where to go get them, we have them. Store.koenigwheels.com. Most of the aftermarket sizes that are out there, they're going to be available on the store. We have them in aluminum for those race guys. We have them in plastic. We've had videos about this, so there's plenty of them there.
Well, and if you don't know the size that you're supposed to get, you can ask us.
Yeah, but unless you have a different manufacturer wheel, then what you can do is we could tell you the hub size of your car, but you're really going to need to ask them, hey, what's the center bore of this product?
Right.
For most of our stuff, it's going to be 73.1. There's a couple different instances.
66.
Yeah, like on European stuff. So if you do 501-12 bowl patterns and we do 72.6 on our 5120 stuff because that's really hub-centric for BMW. So if you're a BMW, you don't need rings in the back of our wheels.
There you go, BMW.
Yeah, so listen, it's just another piece of the puzzle. Just make sure you have it. It's such an easy thing to do. The good thing about this is if for some reason you get to that point where you have your wheels and stuff and then you're like, oh, crap, I forgot. Put them on the best you can. You could still use them, or you can just wait until the hub rings show up. I mean, they're not hard to get.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess the last thing on my agenda is, and I'm not using my notes now.
Congratulations, Jared.
I know, right? Yeah. Moving up in the world.
Pretty much.
It's all about checking availability. And what I mean by that is it's not always necessarily the purchaser's fault. I think there are a lot of occasions where I think purchasers will go to the dealer and the dealer doesn't know how to check our inventory. And they place an order and then I get Facebook messages saying, well, I mean, I ordered these wheels, you know, 2 months ago. Like, where are they? And I have to give them the bad news of like, well, they're not coming for a couple months because you place them right around the time when they weren't here yet, et cetera, et cetera. So like checking availability, I think is, in my opinion, a common mistake.
Yeah, I mean, and I think that when it comes down to dealing with dealers that are going to place your order, there's a lot of websites that will claim everything's in stock.
Right.
Just from, you know, as a starting point. And then you'll get an email, you know, a few days later and they're like, oh, I'm sorry, they're not available. Yes, you could check with us. We have an online inventory check tool that you can use. It's right there on our website. Just go under the dealers tab, click on check inventory, and you will be able to follow directions, put the codes in, stuff like that, and find out if we have them in stock, if it says in production or whatever it may be. Just give us a ring and we can tell you, or send us a message,
right,
and we can absolutely tell you kind of where in the next ETA is. But your dealers can do it too. You don't have to speak to us directly. Mm-hmm. You can send a message to your dealer, or you can call them ahead of time and say, hey, can you find out if Koenig has these in stock? Or, you know, there's companies like Fitment Industries and Discount Tire and stuff like that that stock wheels. They may have their own supply.
Or so, if you're in Europe, Wyborg Engineering.
That's right. And if you're in Europe, you got Wyborg Engineering, which brings in a lot of wheels, and they're doing a wheel giveaway right now. So if you want to, if you're in Europe and you're watching or listening, go over to our Instagram or go over to racingwheels.eu.
Yep.
Or Racing Wheels Europe, and you will be able to find out how you can get entered in this giveaway that they're doing. And it's only good until the end of November. So hurry up.
For real.
Yeah. We got anything else you want to talk about?
No, that was really it.
That's all Jared has.
I think. Yeah.
I'm gonna throw one more in. When it comes down to buying wheels, please consider when you're going to use them, how you're going to use them, and the finish that you're going to choose. And the reason is because finish plays a little bit larger of a part than just the aesthetics. When you live in an area that has a lot of, you know, harsh winter or rough environment, you know, machined wheels, they're going to be less, they're going to be more prone to clear coat issues or having to be kept clean. They're going to be more maintenance.
Now, you say this even with ceramic coating?
Ceramic coating certainly makes it better. But the difference that you run into with some of the machine stuff is that a lot of the stuff is, you know, if you have any machined clear coats where it's a brilliant clear coat, meaning that it's super, like the machine wheel looks really shiny. Yeah, I mean, that's, yeah, right? But the hyperchrome is a paint still.
Oh, okay.
Right. But like the machine lip or something like that, mm-hmm, when you do those brilliant machined finishes where they look really shiny and they don't look like that European, like matte dullness, generally what happens is, you know, to get that, the wheel is painted and then they machine the paint off, right? So this tool goes through. Wherever you're going to have an area where you machine that part down to get it shiny again, you machine the paint off, wherever it meets the paint, you're always going to have that area where the clear coat could be of different thicknesses and stuff like that. Anyhow, I don't want to get too technical with it, but what I will say is this. You live in a harsh area, you take your car off-road, you do anything where you're going to be in a lot of snow or the area you're in uses a lot of chemicals or different things like that, choose a painted wheel. A full painted wheel will serve you better for a longer period of time.
So what would you say to me in terms of my radium bronze?
Yeah, same thing.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Radium bronze freeform.
Radium bronze to get that finish, what we essential, or just clean them frequently, mm-hmm, right?
Okay. All
right. But remember that whenever you have a clear coated, a machined finish, that the road debris, when you have a lot of rocks and chips, and this is not just our brand, this is any brand.
Yeah.
When you have the rocks and the chips and the whole thing, and they, you know, smashing against your wheel, and that happens a lot. You know, we're in New York, so when we see those things happen, look, they put sand out on the road, the little tiny gravel pebbles.
Oh,
and,
God.
And it kicks up everywhere. So
that's how you know winter's coming.
Yeah, so that's the type of stuff that, you know, just be cautious of. Think about it before you buy your wheels. We're just trying to look out for you, you know? We want to...
That's ultimately what this is all about.
Yeah,
right?
We want to... Of course, we're here to sell you wheels and be part of the community, but we want you to make right decisions for you. And if that's not our stuff, that's your decision to make. But you now have the information to make an informed decision.
Yeah.
You know, and again, I've had machine wheels on my car during winter. I'm not saying you can't make them hold up. I'm not, mm-hmm, saying that they'll fail instantly. It's not one of those things. But if you had to make the choice between the two, and you live in, let's say, Minnesota or Michigan, where they get a ton of winter, you want to make it easier on yourself, go for the painted wheel.
Well, speaking of wheel abuse and road debris, you know, Friday's content is Nick Novak's car walk around.
I'm not sure that those two have anything to
do
with each other.
Of course they do. He's a drifter. Those okay. wheels take a beating. Those wheels take a beating. Yeah, I was trying to do a cool little segue.
I hear you, but listen, they take a beating, but they keep on ticking.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. So
that was just my way of transitioning and telling you about Friday's content.
That was a great transition.
It's going to be a good one.
It's going to be a good one. Nick Novak is a cool dude. And I think what's cool about Nick is he's just an average car guy, just likes to drive, you know?
But he's also really good at it.
Yeah. Oh, he's really good at it. Nick Novak, you mark my words. I think that if you get to a point with Nick where, you know, he makes that jump to pro, which I think is very, very probable or possible.
Yeah.
I think Nick's going to be one of those guys that in his first year or two makes a heavy duty, like, ascension into that series.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a comment
like
come
an
through.
Exponential growth.
Oh, yeah. I really think
so.
Yeah,
we have a few comments. Somebody was saying we need more Koenig wheels on Forza.
Yeah, so we've talked about this before with video games. We put that stuff in, like, years before they go in. They start working on games 4 or 5 years before they come out. Like, so a lot of the times, the wheel process is in the very beginning. Just one of those things.
And then it says, Angel says, with a brake set up like a Keys hatch, what spec would you suggest for a squared flush, no camber look in a 16-inch hyperchrome countergram?
It's hard, you know, Cube, it's hard to pick, it's hard to do the brakes like that, right? Because every brake component is going to have a different thing to it. You have to, for me, if I'm building a car like that, I think what I do is, you know, every time you pick a wheel and tire package, I say, you know, try to figure out what tire size you want to run. It will help you figure out what size wheel you want to put on the car. Mm-hmm. If you're going for functional, especially like in a race application, you want to figure out, all right, this is the tire size tire I need to run. This is the contact patch. This is what I need. Okay. What size wheel can I put in it? This is what will fit. Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. Now I got my wheel and tire package set up. It really comes, like, which one comes first? And it depends. Like, if you are in the point where you're calculating that you really need to have a very, very specific brake setup to accomplish the braking goals that you need, depending on what kind of driving you're doing, then you need to choose the brake and then look for the wheel. I would say more than often... In fact, I would say, you know, probably 90% of the time, you choose the wheel and tire package and then find the braking setup that works the best for the type of driving that you'll need. And what I mean by that is, remember that with a lot of these guys that are using cars like on the track and stuff like that, there's a lot more that goes into it than just how big of a brake can I fit. It's about how much brake fade they get. It's about how much heat dissipation they can get away with. It's about, you know, whatchamacallit? I just lost my train of thought for a second. It's about the balance and the bias. Remember, they have the ability to kind of... peace out, Adrian. Thanks for hanging out with us for a while, man. You know, it's a lot about that whole thing of being able to balance the front and the rear use of the brakes. So you may see some of these cars, they may, you know, some of them, they'll have much larger calipers in the rear than a stock car would be, and they're actually using some of that braking power where it's not just all the, there's a lot of stuff. And I've heard so many different setups and people, when it comes to racing, you need to get your priorities down first. What do I need? And then you can kind of find the pieces in between. I suspect that on the hatch that Aki's building for running Time Attack, doing it with the wheels and finding a brake kit that will fit in is going to be the best scenario for him. I think it's much more crucial to have the right wheel and tire package than finding a brake that he'd have to be able to make work.
Yeah, so he says, this would be for my hatch, just want a nice driver wheel and tire. So then, I mean, does it
pick the wheel and tire package. If that's what we're talking about, Angel, pick the wheel and tire package first. Make sure you get the look that you want. And then as far as a brake for street, so many brake kits are plenty capable, if you want to go for an upgrade, to fit and still be able to give you great stopping power. remember that the key, and I don't want to speak like I'm a brake expert. Mm-hmm. We've had Michael Hamrick from Wilwood on before.
Yep.
But what I will say is, remember that it's not about the size of the caliper. It's not how many pistons you have. I mean, I'm not saying they don't play into factors. They do.
But it's not the size of the vessel. It's the motion in the ocean.
But what I am saying is that the goal here is heat dissipation. You're trying to remove as much heat from the brakes as possible, and that will keep them from kind of being overrun. So you'll see a lot of these, you know, there's a lot of things you could do. Two-piece rotors, directional rotors, slightly
slotted, right?
No. Well, slotted for sure. Drilled, I think, isn't. I'm not in on drilled.
I get that.
Drilled is one of those things. I think when you run drilled on a track car, they're more prone to cracking. So I would not. Okay. That's my personal opinion. But what I would say is, like, going to a taller rotor. Remember, more metal, more mass, brake ducting. There's so much you can do to try to take the heat out of your brakes. Mm-hmm. And when you do that, you automatically start getting more stopping power. Mm-hmm. So that's the deal. Make sure you're considerate to the fact that it's not just about parts. Tuning goes far deeper than just putting parts on a car. You got to make them work, right? You got to make them work. So,
ain't that the truth? Yeah.
Cube, hopefully we answered that question. I think by the thumbs up we got it. But
and when you get your wheels, Cube, send us pictures. Yeah, images at KonigWheels.com.
Man, I like that. And he's got a hatch too. I like that.
That's sick.
Yeah. So anyhow, so I think that's it, right? We're good?
That's all I got.
We hope that this was entertaining, sure, but we hope that this really does help you or help a friend or help somebody when you're choosing your wheels to make a good decision to kind of limit the mistakes and make sure that you have a really good buying session and you have a good experience with whatever wheel and tire package you should choose.
But also, what do you think of this whole new, like, more studio setup we got going on, you know?
It looks like the same to them.
No way.
It's the same.
No way. We got backlights on you. We got these lights. We got everything. I think it looks different to them.
So happens when you put
prove him wrong.
So what happens when you put video guys in the podcast. Anyhow, thanks for hanging out with us. We will be back here next Wednesday, 3 p.m. Eastern. We'll do this whole thing all over again. Don't forget, Friday we have a piece of content. It's a Carnatomy with Nick Novak. We're going to walk around his drift car. Pretty dope. He's going to kind of tell you kind of the things that they've done and how much power this car is going to make. Pretty staggering. It's ridiculous. It's pretty staggering. So it's a good thing to check out. And make sure you subscribe. If you're at this point, thank you for listening this far. Make sure you subscribe. Click the like button and stuff like that. It helps us out. But also, the best part about it we'll talk about that in a second. But also, the best part about it is that we're going to be doing some giveaways and some different things. You'll find out about it here on the channel first. So make sure you get subscribed and click that notification bell. And Jared's right. If you want to pick up a hat, $14.95. I'm not trying to sell you a hat. But we've been asked for hats for a while. We got some hats, just so you can rep. We tried to price them just kind of right above where we needed to. So they're there. They're not meant to make us a fortune, but they are meant so that you can get an affordable hat to rock us, represent us. Yeah.
That's it. I think we're done now.
We're out. Listen, take care of yourself. Have a good week. We will be back here next week. Take care.